Well, get settled, get comfy, grab a really big notebook. You're going to want to make a lot of notes when this man preaches. Chris is going to come and join me. He's going to speak to us this morning. I'll pray for him and then I'll let him take it away. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We're so grateful for this man, for the gift of teaching that you've put in Chris's heart, for the wisdom that you have grown in him. I ask for your blessing on him this morning, that as he comes to share whatever word you've put on his heart, that we would have soft hearts and open ears to hear what it is you want to say to each of us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen and amen. All right. Good morning. Lovely to see you. Well, kind of see you. I can't see you, but I'm with you. And it's just great to be in church this morning and to be able to share with you this morning. And I'm ready. I'm really ready. And if we've not met before, then let me introduce my name. I'm Chris, and I'm a part of the staff team here at Christchurch and have been for just over 8 years now. And have wife Helena, who's at home, and two girls, Jessica and Rafi, and it's just good to be together this morning. As many of you will know, we are going through the book of Acts right now, or some of it at least. Not going to go through all of it probably, but we're going through some of it, and we're journeying through this as a bit of a manual for the scattered church, is what we've titled this whole thing. It's a manual for the scattered church, which is essentially what we are right now, aren't we? We are a scattered church. And as we journey through this incredible book in the New Testament together, we're trying to, I guess, frame it through three primary questions that we're trying to ask each week. Those three questions are, how are we being led by the Holy Spirit? How do we take a greater ownership of our discipleship journey? And how do we have more confidence in Jesus? Those are our three main questions. And we're trying to follow God's lead on all of this and also trying to recognize the particular season that we find ourselves in as a church. And last week, Paul did such a brilliant job at bringing us a really practical message on our approach to evangelism. And he, in essence, touched on all three of these questions. And if you haven't connected with last week, then I really encourage you strongly to do so. Find it online, get on the website. It's on our YouTube channel as well. You can go and check it out. But I strongly encourage you to do that. And today, I want to try and build on some of what Paul started last week in some ways. And primarily, we're going to be in Acts chapter 15. We're also going to be in a whole bunch of other places too, so please grab your Bible, turn it on, whatever you need to do, but make sure you got it, because it would be really helpful for you to have it with you as we read some scripture together and as we just jump into a few different places along the way. So, I wonder today, this is my question for you this morning, have you ever broken any rules? Have you ever broken any rules? Now, I'm sure, like the wonderful people that you are, you've never broken or rarely broken any rules. But I wonder, have you broken any rules? Anyone in the room, have you give me a hand if you've ever broken any rules. All right, Oni's broken some rules. She sat way down there, and we've got hands up all over the room this morning, just to encourage you at home, you're not alone if you've broken a rule. Now, like you, I'm generally a very rule-abiding kind of a person, so I really struggle to think of an answer to my own question. I'm joking, obviously. Helena, my wife, actually, who will be at home right now, used to have this real thing about people breaking rules when they play board games. Anyone really hate it when people break the rules of a board game? Yeah, Helena she probably still does hate that, but she used to absolutely just fired her up. And anyway, as I was thinking about it, this thing popped in my head. It's just a little silly thing, but some of you might not know that I really became a Christian here at Christchurch as a young person. I was a member of Meeting Point, which was the youth group, and which is still going to this very, very day right now as we stand here. And in fact, why don't you just give a huge shout out to our youth, to our youth teams, to Elliot and Sophie and Tabby, who are our youth pastors. Just if, particularly if you're a parent of a young person, why don't you just pop it into the chat and just give a huge encouragement to our youth team and our youth leaders. They do an amazing job here. But when I was a young person here at Christchurch, there was a particular rhythm in our community where we used to go away on weeks away during a particular time of the year. And on this particular camp that we went on, there were a number of rules that got broken. Now, if you put teenagers together, there's going to be some rules that get broken. And this particular story, I mean, on this particular year, as I said, a number of rules were broken. There were some kind of games with water pistols inside, which didn't go very well. You know, when you have a leader who is never angry, but then when they get angry, you really know that they're cross. That happened a few times on that camp when our leaders got really cross, and we'd never seen them cross before. But this particular camp, I remember this one time. This involves a particular person who was on the youth team at the time, and is actually still on the youth team now, our very own wonderful Val Moore. And good morning to you, Val, if you're watching, wherever you are. I'm praying God's blessing over you today. And I didn't actually check if it was okay to tell this story, but I'm sure you're going to love it. This particular camp, me and a friend, particularly later on in the evenings, would get particularly hungry. And we're teenage boys, we're growing all the time. We needed extra food. And Val was actually cooking for the camp that year, as she has done for so many years. And we've got, actually, Mark McCurdy's in the room this morning. He was a part of our youth team for many years as well. He'll understand that. Val used to cook for all our camps. And this particular year, I remember that on many evenings during the week, I had one particular friend, me and this particular friend, would go down to the kitchen late at night, and Val would be there because Val was sort of always in the kitchen, right? She just loved to be there. She was always serving and just giving food. And we used to sneak down, and we would spend evenings with Val. We really weren't allowed to do this, but we would spend evenings, and our leaders didn't know about this. We'd spend evenings with Val, chatting with Val, and she would just give us food. And it would be the best, one of the best parts of the whole camp was just sneaking down those stairs at night, not too late, but just sneak into the kitchen, having a chat with Val, and giving us some food. Some rules, though, they just need to be broken, right? That was a rule that just needed to be broken. We needed food. We needed to go down and spend some time with Val and get some food. Today, in our story in Acts chapter 15, we hit a key juncture in the timeline. It's a theological and doctrinal milestone in the history of the church where the rules come into question. The rules come into question. And so today, the title of my message is Rule Breaker. Rule Breaker. As I said just now, our journey in Acts, which has reached this point in chapter 15, reaches a real milestone. It's a milestone in the church's history. And honestly, this is one of the most pivotal chapters in all of the New Testament. And I don't know about you, but often when I read the book of Acts, everything seems to happen so quickly. Do you know what I mean? Like the stories just flow. Everything's going on. It's such a hive of activity in the book of Acts. Everything seems to happen so quickly. And it's easy to lose a sense of actual time and chronology in this book, I find, because we don't get that many places to hang it on. But it's important for you to know this morning that we're probably about, in Acts chapter 15, we're probably about 20 years on from the beginning of the book, okay? So about 20 years has elapsed from chapter 1 through now to chapter 15. And so much has happened in the first 15 chapters. Jesus has been with them right at the beginning. He's ascended. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. Thousands of people have come to faith. Radical community, radical generosity, loads of miracles, the scattering of the church through persecution, Saul's conversion, and a whole bunch more. So much has happened. And over the 20 years that have elapsed, one of the other things that's happened is there's this tension that has arisen between Jewish believers and Gentile believers. This tension is definitely present, and it's understandable that it's present because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was such a crazy moment in history. It was a dramatic shift. And so now in chapter 15, the tension that has has built up between Jewish and Gentile believers essentially needs to be resolved. It needs to be resolved. And the apostles are faced with this question that ultimately threatens the integrity of the gospel. The question essentially being, is the grace of God enough to be saved? Is the grace of God enough to be saved? And we're going to focus on particularly five verses from this chapter. So just to set the scene a little bit. In verse 1 of chapter 15, you'll read that it says, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers. When it says those certain people, what it means is it's talking about a particular group of people who live by traditional Jewish customs. And they were teaching that really to be right with God, it wasn't just grace that allowed you to be a Christian. Actually, you still had to follow much of the law of Moses on top of the grace. It was like a combination of the two. Grace enough wasn't enough. You also needed to follow the law. You had to keep going with the rules. And so these people say in verse 5 of chapter 15, the Gentile must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. And now we read from verse 6. So we're going to read a few verses from Acts chapter 15, verse 6 onwards. It says this: the apostles and the elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, just as we are, just as they are. And so the question comes before the leaders of the early church. Verse 6 says, after much discussion. Which is such a loaded statement, isn't it? After much discussion was had, after much discussion, Peter gets up and he gives the answer, which is the answer in the verses that we've just read, the truth of which we are still living under right now. And what does he say in these verses? Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, which is something that they understood a little bit about, but God, who knows the heart, and I want you to be encouraged by that verse today. God knows your heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, meaning he didn't choose one side or the other. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit was the incorporation of all people into the plan and the heart of God, that all might hear his message and that all might believe and all might be saved. This is an amazing moment. So in essence, for a Gentile believer in this moment, the danger was that through the false teaching of this particular group of people, that certain group of people, that they could end up believing that their salvation was now invalid because they didn't keep the law of Moses, which was a whole lot of rules that they were never even supposed to keep in the first place because they were never under the law. And so they might start believing that their salvation was invalid. Now, this is key for us because I wonder sometimes how many of us invalidate our own or someone else's salvation based on something that we or they might have done, a rule that they might have broken, a condition that we might have created or placed upon someone getting saved. We'll come back to that in a bit. But I wonder, you might be sitting, wherever you are sitting right now, you might be uncertain of your salvation. Like you might have uncertainty. You might be feeling shaky about your own salvation because of a false belief in a broken rule that you might have created that was never supposed to tie you down in the first place. And maybe today, maybe today it's time for you to break out of that rule. Maybe it's time for you to break the rules. Quick caveat. When I'm saying, talking about breaking the rules, what I'm not obviously saying is to break the law. I'm not saying that, okay? And I think you know that, but I just wanted to be very clear with you. When I say break the rules, obviously don't break lots of rules. I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. Verse 10 in this principle is really key for us, and I want you just to turn to it in your Bible. Verse 10 says this, "Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear?" Peter so beautifully and concisely speaks out this truth in these verses here. And here in verse 10, Peter asks these people, like, why would you want to add in all these rules on top of their faith? Why would you want to? By attempting to add these rules on top of their existing faith, they test God, because essentially what they're saying is, by adding these rules in, the work of Jesus is not enough. What Jesus did is not enough for you. In order to be really saved, you need to add on top all the law and all the rules. And if you don't do that, you can't really be saved. And what they're saying is here, you're testing God, because what you're saying is the work of Jesus is not enough. Now, these rules, it says that they are a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors could bear. When I see that word and hear that word yoke, maybe like you, but I'm immediately taken back to that time where Jesus talks about yokes. And what does he say? I want to read it to you. It's in Matthew 11. And he says this. He says, "Take my yoke upon you. All you who are weary and burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the law, the rules that these certain people are trying to teach about and put on top of the faith of the Gentile believers, these rules of the Old Testament, they were too heavy. They were so heavy, they were literally unbearable, right? Unbearable. What does it say in Acts 15? It was a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors could bear. We couldn't bear it. It was unbearable. Literally, they couldn't be carried, which is why we needed the work of Jesus for our salvation. And what does Jesus say about his yoke here? His yoke is easy and it's light. And so this pivotal moment in the history of the church is fighting for the primacy of the true and lasting work of Jesus and the grace that he gives us, which enables us to be saved. His grace is enough. And so we need to stop adding on top a load of rules to our faith, either to your faith or to the faith of someone around you. You need to stop adding in conditions to people's salvation. Now, we might say when we read this, well, obviously, we don't do this anymore. This doesn't relate to us in the same way. But I speak to people all the time, and I find that people continually put conditions and rules on top of their faith. If I don't do X thing, I'm not in a good place with God. I don't have a good faith. I don't know if I'm saved. Or I did this thing wrong, and I don't know anymore if I'm saved. And we start to put on top of our faith all these rules and all these conditions. And we need to stop doing that, because by adding on top of our faith all these rules and all these conditions, we're testing God, as Acts 15 says. And essentially we start to say that the work of Jesus, the grace that was poured out through the work of Jesus, is not enough. And this is what we're fighting for here in Acts 15. We need to break out of the rules. Jesus has this amazing conversation with the religious leader, doesn't he? In Matthew 22 it is. And this leader tries to test him, tries to set him up for a fall. And he asks him the question, which is the greatest commandment of the law? which is the greatest of all the law, of all the stuff in here, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the most important? And you'll know these verses really, really well. And Jesus replies in Matthew 22. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. So we know already that the yoke of Jesus is easy, that his burden is light. And now we can begin to understand that the law of the Old Testament, which was too heavy to bear, it was unbearable, they couldn't carry it. Those same rules that the people in Acts 15 are trying to put on top of the faith of Gentiles, all of these rules, they now hang through the words of Jesus on two commandments. All of these things hang on two commandments. Two commandments with one thing in common, which is love. And so let me ask you a very simple question this morning. How is your love doing? How is your love? How is your love for God doing today? How is your love for yourself doing? How is your love for the people around you doing? Really, really simple questions, but how is your love doing? Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love, and all of the law and the prophets hang on these two things. Follow with me to 1 John, because in 1 John, we find these verses that John writes, these beautiful verses in the later stages of the New Testament. And 1 John 5, 1 to 3, I want to just read them to you because they're really, really important as we begin to build this picture of what the heart of God is really like. It says this, 1 John 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. This is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. His commands are not heavy. They are not designed to weigh you down. And some of us have switched into our faith, or laid on top of our faith, heavy and burdensome rules that we were never designed to carry. The commands of God are not burdensome. And so now we begin to build this picture that the law and the rules of the Old Testament are too heavy. They're too heavy to carry. And then this teacher comes along to Jesus and asks him, of all of these things, of all of these rules, of all of these laws, which is the greatest one? And Jesus said, well, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, to love. Love is the thing that hangs on top of all of this here. And in John, we read that the commands of God are not burdensome. And so what's happening here in Acts 15 is that these certain people, they're trying to put those rules and that law on top of the Gentiles' faith, which was never going to work because it was too heavy for them to carry. They were never designed to carry it. But the burden of Jesus is light and his yoke is easy. And so I wanted to encourage you today, if you feel heavy and burdened and you can relate to that thing of your placing rules and conditions on top of your faith, I want to bring you back to truth. The grace of Jesus, the work of Jesus is enough. So, back to our passage in Acts for a moment. Because what Peter says in verse 11 really sums up the heart of what we're trying to say today. And he says, no, no. We believe that it's through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved just as they are. Just as they are. Just as they are. Isn't that such a powerful statement, that the just as they are, that they were saved just as they are? I hope it's okay for me to say this morning, but please don't confuse the truth, the deep truth and reality of yours or someone else's salvation for issues of discipleship. Don't confuse yours or someone else's salvation for issues of discipleship. You were saved by grace just as you are. And just as you are doesn't mean just as long as you're perfect, or just as long as the issues are all sorted, or just as long as that relationship works out, or just as long as any of the rules that you might have placed on top, just as that person didn't say that thing or do that thing. Just as you are doesn't mean that. Just as you are means just as you are. We are all on a journey to become more like Jesus, aren't we? We're all on a journey to become more like him, to be discipled, to become more like him and more like the people that he designed us to be. We're all on that journey. And that doesn't mean that we get to place a judgment on our own salvation, or indeed another person's salvation, because they don't necessarily conform to the rules or the conditions that you might have placed on top of your faith or on top of the faith of someone else. It goes on in Acts 15, and James says, like, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles to believe. We shouldn't make it difficult. God doesn't want to make it difficult for you or the people around you to find him. He doesn't want to make it difficult. He doesn't want to add in all these heavy and unbearable rules. He doesn't want conditions placed on your faith. And so if you find yourself in that position, it might be in two contexts. You might be doing it for your own faith, but you might be placing judgment upon someone else's faith or salvation because of rules and conditions that you've created that they were never supposed to carry. Let me repeat what I said just a minute ago. Please don't confuse the deep truth and reality of yours or someone else's salvation for discipleship issues. You were saved by grace just as you are. So it's time to break out of the rules, to break off the conditions, to break off the add-ons and the extras and all the stuff that we might think we need to be saved and to have faith. Jesus is enough. That's what this chapter is all about. His grace is enough. Break off the hard yoke and the heavy burdens over yourself and those other people that you might have placed it on. And let's hear the words of Peter today. Let's hear the words of Peter today. We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved just as they are. Now, in a second, we're going to use that as a declaration of truth over our lives. We're going to use it as a declaration of faith and of salvation. And you might be watching this morning, you might be catching up later. You might be sitting with someone right now who doesn't know the truth and the reality of that salvation. You might be with someone right now. And we want to pray that God would move this morning, that he would move as you watch on catch up, that he would bring people to faith, and that people would come to realize and understand the grace that he pours out to allow that relationship to develop. So I want you just to stand wherever you are. I want you to really engage in this moment. I want you to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus today, which is that what happened here in Acts 15, what happened in this monumental, theological, and doctrinal moment in the history of the church, is the reality that we still live under today. That we were never designed to carry the heavy rules that we were never meant to. That it is by grace and grace alone that we are saved. And so if you find yourself this morning with all those add-ons, with all those conditions, with all those rules, with all that just as stuff, I want you just to stand where you are, and I want you to place a hand on your heart. And I want us to invite the power of the Holy Spirit to come now and to begin to minister to us wherever we are. Now, our worship team will just begin to play, and they're just going to begin to create just an environment for us to begin to pray into and to worship into. We're not going to sing yet. We're not going to sing for a little while. We're just going to respond, okay? We're just going to respond. We've got time to do that. We don't need to rush. And if you're able, wherever you are, I want you to, as much as you can, to deeply engage in this moment here. To deeply engage. Just place a hand on your heart wherever you are. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to declare something together. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you now to come and to minister to the hearts of your children. Holy Spirit, I ask now in these next moments that you would be releasing people from heavy burdens. That you would bring a lightness. Thank you that your commands are not burdensome. That you would be helping people to break off all the rules and all the conditions that they might have placed, that we might have placed on our faith or on the faith of another person. Holy Spirit, would you deepen in us and reveal to us the truth of your grace, the power of your grace, that your grace is enough. And whether we've heard it just once for the first time this morning, or we've heard it 1,000,000,000 times before, we recognize and we never tire of the power of your grace. That we never deserved to be in relationship with you, but now we get to. Now we get to. And so I just feel like some of us, maybe even some of us in the room, I don't know, but some of us, we feel like we have to do all this stuff. We feel like we have to pray. We have to have quiet times. We have to do all that. We feel like we have to do all this stuff. And I want to just shift it this morning a little bit. We don't just have to. We get to. Like it's a privilege to be in relationship with God. His grace is enough. We get to pray. We get to read the word which is alive to us. We get to be generous. We get to be in relationship with other people. We get to help other people understand. We get to. And so, Holy Spirit, now would you be shifting our hearts and our minds? Thank you that we get to be in relationship with you. Where there is a heavy burden or a chore sense of being in relationship with you, I pray you would break that in these moments. That we would experience the easy yoke and the light burden this morning. Thank you that we get to. Thank you that we get to experience your grace. And I pray wherever people are right now that they would be understanding again the depth of your grace and the power of your grace. Thank you that we get to. My sense is right now, I don't think we need to sing quite yet. I just think we need to just pause in this moment for a little while longer. Is that okay, Julia? Is that all right? Yeah, we're gonna pause just for a little bit, and just allow our musicians just to play, and for you just to begin to pray. If you're aware of rules and conditions that you might have put on top of your faith, then just speak them out. J- just say no to those things like Peter did. No, we believe it's the grace of God. Just begin to pray those things, speak them out. And in a little bit, we're going to just declare something together. But you just keep praying wherever you are. Keep doing whatever it is that God is doing with you. For some of you, it might be actually that you sense that there's just like almost a recommitting towards God that you need to do in this moment. Maybe you've been wandering off for a while. Maybe you can relate to some of this stuff here. Maybe you can relate to the heaviness. I don't know what it is. Maybe today, maybe this morning, there's a recommitting that you need to do with God. And you just need to recommit towards him. Accept his grace in a fresh way. God, I accept your grace in a fresh way and I commit my life back into your hands. I'm sorry that I wandered off. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you're bringing people back towards you this morning. Thank you, God, that we get to be in relationship with you. And so just before I hand over back to Julia and to our worship team as they keep going in whatever it is that they sense God is doing, I want to just declare something together. And I want to take the words from Acts 15 and that verse 11. And I want to put it into our personal language. And so in a second, I'm going to ask you again, so if you haven't taken your hand off your heart, to put it back on, straight back on there. And we're going to say together, I believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that I am saved just as I am. Okay? I believe that it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that I am saved just as I am. So if you've got your Bible and you need just to read that out and remember it, Just transition out the we's to the I's. Make it personal for you in this moment. This is going to be a declaration of faith. And if you're doing this for the first time, we would love to connect with you. And we'd love to know if you're doing this for the first time. And you can get in contact with us through an email address, which Chris will pop up on the screen in a little bit once he's found it. Brilliant. Yeah. hello@ccweb.org.uk. So we're going to declare this together. You ready? Let's pop a hand on your heart. And we're going to say this together. I believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that I am saved, just as I am. Let's say that one more time. I believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that I am saved, just as I am. Thank you, Father, that you saved us just as we are. Not just as long as we've got it all sorted, but just as we are. And so we come before you now, just as we are, and ask that you would move us forward and move us on and take us deeper and help us to become more like you. Thank you that that's your desire and that's your heart. And we love you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen and amen and amen. Tom and the guys are just going to take us into a little bit of worship, and then Julie's going to come in and just see if there's anything else that we need to do this morning. So I'm going to hand over to Tom and to Sam, and then they can lead us in worship. Let's go.